9:37, Michael Austin, Christian History Magazine. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. So good to be with you this morning.
Good to catch up with you again. It's fun because going through these, it's always interesting to find out what your topic and subject is going to be magazine after magazine after magazine. Christian history can be so vast. Where do you begin?
Oh, yeah. Amazing. And this one in particular is extremely timely. Recently, they have focused on issues of the day, which I'm so encouraged by because the Christians have so much to say about what is going on each and every day. We see with the headlines issues that everybody is concerned with, and that's what I love to talk about because, the Bible, it's like reading the news. Well, we used to read the newspaper. Don't do that anymore, but it's like reading the newspaper, watching the news on TV. You get a heads up on what people are doing today. And history is so, so important because, the Christians have gone through a lot of this stuff long ago and come up with solutions which are being ignored today. So we've got really something very important to say.
So really, it sounds like what you're saying is that there's a lot of truth when they say history repeats itself.
Exactly. Exactly, and we are doomed to repeat mistakes unless we know our history. So I encourage everyone to get a subscription to this magazine, go onto the website, check it out, research your favorite subjects, and keep up to date.
Now, we have a special double issue for this month, and really, it's Jesus the Healer and Astonishing Deeds. And so let's start to pick this thing apart a little bit. Let's take the first half, Jesus the Healer. Now, Michael, it feels like every generation, they say, we never really see the biblical things that happen because things in the Bible were so profound, bringing those back from the dead. And, we see things like that. They're around the world. We just don't seem to hear about it as much. Is that about right?
I think you've got it right. Not only that, but we tend to think that healing only takes place. We only learn about that in the New Testament, but actually we see that in the Old Testament, and very frequently when it happens in the New Testament, references are made to some of these incredible instances in the Old Testament where we see Jehovah God, our Father in heaven, healing and bringing back to life and just blessing people in incredible ways. And one of the great stories that I love takes place in 2 Kings 5, 1 through 15. We see this amazing commander of the Syrian army, which of course went back and forth being the enemy of Israel. But in this case, Nahum was the top warrior in Syria, and he was a leper. How amazing is that? And so you hear this conversation between him and a servant girl that was captured from Israel, and this young girl says to his wife, Nahum's wife, I wish we were in Israel so that Nahum could get cured. And, they ask, what in the world is this talking about? Well, what is so amazing about that story is that, it teaches great wisdom. But he came into the presence. He was sent down to see Elisha, a great prophet of Jehovah God, who was a man of God. And he insults, or Nahum gets his nose out of joint because, frankly, he expected a big ritual to take place because he's a big man, right? He's a big, important person, so you should have a big, important ritual and ceremony and so forth. But Elisha said, just go out to the river and dunk yourself in the river seven times and see what happens. He finally does that. He finally surrenders to this. And by the way, there's a great lesson in that. We all need to surrender to the way of our Heavenly Father, not our own expectation of what we think should happen for us, but what He has in store for us, that we may know that there is a prophet in Israel. That was the message of the time, because Israel had, and the people, His chosen people, had the job by the way, of the oracles of God, letting the world, the whole world, know the oracles of God. And so Nahum went into the water, was healed, and rejoiced, and came back and repented. Wow, do we ever need to be doing that today?
Mike, a question to get to know you a little better. We're on with Michael Austin from Christian History Magazine. Not really knowing you that well, in radio you have a voice, and I can hear so much passion, and I can hear so much knowledge, and more of a teacher come out of you when sitting down and listening to you. How did you know that discussing Christian history was going to be your life's work?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. I'll try to make it brief. I, as a young person, got involved with a Hindu guru and worshipped a Hindu guru for a long time, almost 15 years, from age 22 to 37. I escaped that because I realized that this guru was a liar. Now, I can't explain this to people because what we used to say in that cult, well, you know, we think he's God, so God can do anything. So if he lies, so what? He can, you know, God can do that. Well, later on, when after the Lord got a hold of me, and by the way, he did that by speaking to me, I heard an audible voice, and it came out of nowhere, and I had no reference of it. I was being encouraged to come to a church and meet Jesus, so I think I had a lot to do with it, and I think my Heavenly Father targeted me. He spoke to me. I believe he had protected me through those years in that satanic cult in many ways, which would be interesting to talk about someday. But actually what he said to me, he told me I was going to die soon and I had better get right with him. Wow, what a message. And so ever since that happened, that's almost 20 years ago, I have he gave me a desire. He planted the Holy Spirit in my heart. And he gave me a desire to please him through righteousness. And so I've made it my business to read the Bible, study the Bible. And then, because I had a background in public relations and communications, I came in touch with the publisher of this amazing magazine. And they actually hired me as a professional for a few years. After they said, well, this has been great, you know, you've increased the exposure of the magazine, but we need to allocate funds elsewhere. I said, you know, I will continue to do this because the Lord has made this my own ministry. And so, I've been doing that over the last, gosh, what has it been, 5 or 6 years, doing this on my own. And being blessed by it and just loving to talk about the history of the faith. You know what? We're the only religion, let me put it that way, first of all. Secondly, the only faith that is tied to history. We can identify moments in time, places in geography, and things that happen that are a part of what we know today as the Christian faith. It's not a religion. It's a faith. It's a relationship we have with God.
And you can hear that in your voice, too. You know, you talk about the relationship heavily. And you mentioned about the history a second ago. I'm looking at page 32, for instance. Early 100s, Quadratus, a bishop, he's writing this, some of those whom Jesus healed. How did you come up with this stuff?
Ken Curtis, who started this ministry, was a film documentarian who loved to tell the great stories of what he referred to as the history. The heroes of the faith. And so he started a film company, Vision Video, which, by the way, the entire archive of Vision Video is now available online on a channel called Redeem TV. And thousands of video titles and DVDs are available. There are biographies, there are dramatic stories, movies of the, like I say, the heroes of the faith. It's all available free online at Redeem TV. But these articles, they're so beautifully written and so easily, you know, easy reading. This is not highbrow theology. This is writing that relates the topic. And this issue, of course, is on healing. And they have this amazing list that's documented by their great researchers. And it's just incredible what I discovered. This issue actually has changed my view of the healing movement, the modern healing movement, of which I was extremely skeptical. But I have learned through reading this magazine that, you know what, in the beginning, and you quoted a great man's experience, Quadranus, a bishop in the early church. This is the 100s. This is before the Catholic Church, before the Anabaptists, before the establishment of the state church as opposed to the people's church. It was still the people's church. It was still fresh, alive, Holy Spirit driven, and healing was going on. And you know what? Jesus was seen and perceived as first as a healer. He was a rabbi. He was about his father's business. He was, of course, he wrote the Bible, so he inspired the Bible. So this is a supernatural God, but. The people of his time perceived of him as a healer and a compassionate rabbi who, gave people his attention, people in need, people that needed healing or needed a word from God, an encouragement. And what we read about in these articles is how he turned his attention to each individual that spoke to him in so many different incredible ways and addressed their problem, whether it be healing or, like I say, giving a word from God, an encouragement, changing their lives, instilling the Holy Spirit in them, which, of course, is what happened to me that night when he spoke to me. It was a reborn, a born-again experience. From that moment on, he put me under conviction. The conviction was, I need to get right with the God of the universe, the God, the creator of the universe who created the heavens and the earth. When I read about somebody that's done that, I just have to think that, I need to get involved and I need to learn and I need to accept this incredible gift of salvation, which, of course, the Bible is all about. And there's an interesting sidebar, by the way. In this first article about Jesus being a healer, it talks about how when the church became the state church, and by the way, a lot of these articles, a lot of these magazines talk about the difference between the state church, which was started by Constantine, became the Roman Catholic Church, institutionalized all of these wonderful acts of the Holy Spirit. And in the case of the healing act of the Holy Spirit, Jerome, who translated the Bible, actually translated a word, sozo, which meant heal in the Greek. He changed that to save, which is very, very interesting because it actually changed history. It changed the early church. They took it upon themselves to make healing a sacrament, which could only be performed by a priest. We know today that we have a personal relationship with our Savior and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can bring healing into our life without the aid of, a bureaucratic church like the Catholic Church or others that claim to own and have turned these wonderful gifts of the Spirit into something that is only available by somebody who is ordained or is a minister or is wearing a robe or whatever. In my case, it came to me straight from the Holy Spirit, from his lips to my ears. The great mystery, but it still happens today, I must tell you, because people tell me about their experiences all the time where they've heard a word or they have can't come to an understanding by reading the Bible that this is a personal God that we worship and how we have the privilege, the great privilege to have a personal relationship with him.
We're on with Michael Austin. What's the one key in a skeptical world that would re-enlighten someone? Miracles are still happening now. What's that one key?
Well, may I reference some scripture? This is so important. And I love that we have the manual, by the way, to life. You know, like if you buy a product, you're probably going to have a manual to figure out how to work it. Mm-hmm. In life, we have a manual. It's called the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13 describes the gifts of the Spirit. And I urge people to read that portion, and also James 5. Now, James 5, and by the way, you asked the question, how can we experience that these things are continuing to happen? Mm-hmm. That is what the church is for. The church, given to us by our Heavenly Father, is in a, now, you know, this is my opinion, but I think you can find this firmly stated and taught in the Bible, that the church is his gift to us, because when we get involved with the local church and we get involved with our brothers and sisters in Christ, who also have, by the way, a testimony, they have a story, they have a memory, they know that the Holy Spirit has spoken to them, that our God, our Father in heaven, or Jesus has spoken to them. They have changed their life. They are a reborn Christian. Get around these people, congregate them with them, and ask them their story and tell your story. I believe that this is what we should be doing when we meet in these meetings that we have on Sunday. Some meet on Saturday. Some meet on some other day. Whenever we meet, you know, Jesus said, I want you to remember me. When he gave the elements of the bread and the wine that we call the confirmation, he did that, and he said, remember me. Now, in James 5, it says, if anyone is sick, let them call the elders of the assembly. That's the church. That's the people. By the way, church is not a building. Church is the people. The elders of the assembly, and let them pray over him, having anointed him with oil in the name of the Master. And the prayer of a believer shall save the sick, and the Master shall raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he shall be forgiven. Hallelujah. There's the gospel right there. Yeah. James 5. This is an incredible God that we worship. He has given us a way to be forgiven of our sins. And the Bible teaches that our sin is, the wages of sin is death. But he has given us a way to move from death to life. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you that he who hears my word, this is Jesus speaking, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, that's the Father, shall possess everlasting life and will not come into judgment, but will change from death to life. Isn't that wonderful? That's one verse that gives us the whole gospel, the whole teaching of the Bible.
The Azusa Movement, 1906, breaking out in California. It goes down to it chronologically, 1962, Catherine Coleman, Reinhard Bonnke in 67, the first mission in Africa, charismatic revival breaking out, revivals that are breaking out all over the place. It's a great read just to kind of look at these. I said there's still so much happening today when sometimes it feels like the church is sometimes kind of a little bit asleep.
Yes, indeed. In that first article, Jesus the Healer, the subtitle is The Rise, the Retreat, and the Renewal of Divine Healing in Christian History. And that's what you're going to find in this magazine, in this issue, because they talk about how the church, when it became a state church, retreated from the idea that we can be healed in a moment. And I pray, my prayer is, Father, if you wish it, you can heal me. You can save me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. This was the prayer of Jesus before he went to the cross. He said to the Father, if you will it, you could take this cup from me. But nevertheless, thy will be done. what he was saying in that was that he was confirming that his Father had sent him to be our Savior, and it required his sacrifice on the cross to accomplish that. So, you know, this was not done by mistake. This terrible death that Jesus experienced on the cross was not a mistake. It was not an error. It was his mission. He was sent to do this. His Father wanted us to be so, I mean, his Father was trying to convince people from the very beginning that he was the source of healing, and he was our salvation. He is our salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. And it took this amazing event on the cross to convince people. That event itself, that is the most important event in world history. And we celebrated that just last week. So it's that fresh. It's happening today. And this wonderful revival that is going on. You know, you can read about this in the Gospels, that people recognize that Jesus was who he was because he healed people. And that convinced people over and over again. The Bible records, they saw that he was a great healer, someone that was healed, and they believed. And Jesus' message was what? It was believe and repent. That's all we have to do. It's an amazing gift. He gives it to us freely. And what he wants us to do is live in that awareness and in that knowledge and in that spirit each and every day.
Just believe and repent. Michael Austin, Christian History Magazine. You know what? It is always so much fun catching up with you because you've become for the most part, a regular. And I know we're going to have a chance to sit down with you again in the next month or two. Thank you again for spending time with us today, sir.
Well, thank you for that blessing. And I look forward to talking with you again soon. And God bless you and your wonderful audience. And thank you for your interest in Christian history.
And to find the magazine again online, where do we go?
ChristianHistoryMagazine.org. And by the way, folks can, if they're, you can't purchase a subscription to this magazine. It's only done by donation. But if folks have a financial issue and things are tight these days, just ignore the opportunity to donate and go ahead and sign up and issue. The subscription will be sent to you at no cost. You'll get these issues in the mail, which is a wonderful thing to have. What I love to tell young families is to put this on in the living room, on the coffee table, so that people that visit you know that there is such a magazine as this. It's available. And they can get it today.
Again, ChristianHistoryMagazine.org.
Thank you for having me. Look forward to that. God bless.